privilege it is to be with you. It's been good to meet you all. And I think I've worked enough on your pastor that if you need any translation, he can do it. I do want to thank you as a church for your fellowship and for your looking after us in our physical food, and to the preachers who have preceded me for their messages from the Word of God. This guy would make a good Northern Irishman. Now then, you know, the preachers have all said something that hits the heart. And I want to say something before I start preaching. I'm so excited to see so many young people here.
Amen.
It thrills my soul. And I want to say something to the young people. Young people, number one, obey your parents in the Lord.
Amen.
For this is right. Amen. Number two, your parents know more than you think they know. Number three, keep in the Word.
Amen.
Listen to the Word. Grow in the Word. And if you have questions, go to your parents and ask them. And may God bless you.
Amen.
Now, having started preaching it. All right. Oh, I have to put this machine on.
Thank you.
If I don't pull it apart, that is. Am I on?
There you go.
I'm on. Praise the Lord. I want to read part of one of the well-known books in the New Testament, and I want to make some observations on that book. Nothing I say tonight will be original. It'll all be, I hope, biblical. I'm not on?
No.
Well, I don't need it. Look at the rest of my voice. I have a quiet voice like Brother, what's his name? Rain.
Oh.
Am I on now?
No, he went back off.
Am I old? Yes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
Electronics and I don't get on together. I worked in the shipyard in Belfast as an apprentice to go to sea. I did the mechanical end. I left the electrical end to the others. All right. I'd like you to turn, if you would, to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2. And I want to read to you the first 10 verses. And I want to outline some of this, I think, wonderful stuff from God's truth. I love the book of Ephesians. Before I read, I may have said this when it was at Mena, but let me tell you a very brief story. We were getting some work done on our house, and the man who was the salesman happened to talk to, knew I was a pastor, and we were talking about things, and he came to me in the middle of the afternoon one day, and he said, "Brother, have you got a few minutes? I'd like to talk to you." I said, "Okay." So we went and sat on the front porch, and I was a little curious as to what he wanted to talk about. He says, "Well, I go to a certain church in Oklahoma City." And he said, "I'm not the pastor, but I'm asked to speak on a number of occasions." And he said, "I've been asked to speak on the book of Ephesians." And he said, "I need some help. So would you give me some advice?" So we sat down together. And here's what I said to him. I said, "If you're going to understand the book of Ephesians, I recommend, first of all, that you understand the first 14 verses of chapter 1.
Yeah.
And if you get that, the rest will fit in." Now, I don't know if he's preached that yet, but I trust he has, because the Word of God is clear, the doctrines of grace are clear.
Amen.
And we get it. But anyhow, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Reading in verse number 1 through 10. "And you have he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ.
Amen.
By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wonderful passage of the Word of God. It's a passage that rejoices the soul. It's a passage that encourages the believer. But it's also a passage that warns us of our sinfulness and our need for salvation. There are three things I want to lay before you this evening, as time will allow me. And I've simply divided the passage into three passages. First of all, I want us to look in the verses 1 through 3 at our awful lost condition. Because before God saves us, we are in a terrible condition before him. Then in the second place, in the verses 4 through 7, I want us to look at God's sovereign interaction with us. And then thirdly, I will simply emphasize in the third place, God's sovereign salvation. And these are the three things that I would like to leave with you as we look into the Word this evening. He starts off the second chapter. Now, of course, everything in the second chapter is based on what has already been said in chapter number 1, where Paul eloquently sets out the doctrines of sovereign grace, the predestined grace of God, the election of God, the choosing of God, even before the foundation of the world. Now he's saying to these Ephesian Christians, you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Folks, before God saves us, we are spiritually dead.
Yeah.
We're not partly alive, able to help ourselves along. I heard this from another preacher, but it has stuck with me. Dead men can do two things. They can lie there and they can rot until God gives life. We are spiritually dead. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are.
Right.
Human beings in Adam are spiritually dead.
Right.
And so Paul speaks to these believers and he says, you hath he quickened, that means given life. To you he has given life. What were you before this? And there to me is where the grace of God shines.
Amen.
When we realize what we were,
right,
and we realize what God has done.
Amen.
And we didn't deserve it. It's amazing. You have been quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. We live, before God saves us, we live under the world's control. We live in sin. Everything we do is sin. Even the great psalmist himself said he was born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Now Paul reminds them what they once were. He said, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. I love that part, in time past. Because you see, now they're God's people, they're saved people, they're redeemed people. But he reminds them what they've been saved from.
Yes.
And Christian, we need to remember what we've been saved from.
Right.
And as I said a moment ago, that expresses to us something of the grace of God. So then, he speaks to them about their awful condition. We need to see the real nature of man.
Right.
And do you know our pulpits are not always preaching that?
Right.
Man is a sinner by nature.
Yes.
He sins in his thinking, in his speaking, in his acting. He is a sinner by nature. To see our nature as it really is described in Scripture shows us how wonderful God has been to us. Every day that we get up, we have every reason. Praise God. He has made me what I am. He has given me something that I could never earn for myself. I would say this. An inadequate doctrine of sin leads to slight views of grace. leaves ajar the door to admit error. I got that from someone else. I must remember who it was. But there's a truth there. An inadequate doctrine of sin. You see, the philosophers tell us today, well, you're really good. You're basically good. And we have to just develop that good. No, look around you. Read the newspaper. Look at the television. Listen to the radio. And you'll see that we're anything but good.
Yes.
Sin is all around us.
Yes, it is.
So Paul says to them, in time past, ye walked. Now, we've already heard in this conference, even as a believer, I'm not free from sin.
Right.
But the believer does not live under the domination of sin.
Right.
And when he does commit sin, John says you are to take it to the Lord, and he's able and willing to forgive us for our sin.
Amen.
But we do not live under the domination of sin if we are believers.
Right.
There's something not right there. If I say I'm a believer and I'm still living the way I used to, as Paul says here, ye walked according to the course of this world.
Right.
You walked according to the course of this world. This is the way you used to walk. You were dead. God in His mercy gave you life. Now walk that way. In fact, in chapter number 4 and the first verse, Paul says to the believers, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. So, he says to them, you know, before God saved you, you were under the domination of the world. The unbeliever is not neutral. He or she is under the domination of Satan. You're either under God or you're under Satan. There's nothing in between.
Right.
You're not a neutral person. You are either walking in Christ or you're walking under Satan. And he is into evil. You know, we've had all these things happen around us in America today. And it's amazing. People will not recognize that there are evil characters out there.
Right.
We blame it on something else, but men are evil. So, I want you to look at a couple of scriptures with me. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 13, I probably will not get to all my scriptures, because I see that the clock is moving. It won't stop for me. But in chapter 1 of Colossians and verse 13, listen to this. What God has done for us, who has delivered us from the power of darkness. Under Satan, we're under the control of the power of darkness. And light must come to take away the darkness. And the only light that is worthwhile is the light that is found in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
As John tells us early in his book. So that 13th verse, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son.
Amen.
When we're saved by God's grace, we move from one kingdom into another kingdom.
Yes, sir.
We move from darkness into light. We move from deadness into life. Mm-hmm. To young people, let me say this. Don't think that you say to yourself, well, I'll get saved when I'm an adult.
Mm. No.
If you're hearing the gospel, may the Spirit of God work on your heart. I was saved when I was 15 years of age, as far as I can humanly ascertain. And you know something, I've said this to many people, not only was my soul saved, my life was saved.
Right.
Anyhow, going on. He says, according to the prince, wherein in time past you walked, according to the course of this word, according to the prince of the power of the air. Who's he speaking about there? He's speaking there about Satan.
Yeah.
You see, you notice how clear it is. We're either under the Lord Jesus or we're under Satan. And he says, this is the way you live. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience.
Yes.
Who are the children of disobedience? They're those who reject the Lord. They're those who reject the claims of the gospel. If you're not saved tonight, you're a child of disobedience. If you're not saved tonight, you don't know what it is to walk under the kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Now he goes on in verse number 3. Among whom also we all have our conversation in times past. That's the second time we've got that phrase, in times past. He says to the believers in Ephesus, folks, That's what you were. But something has happened. So he says here, you walked in time past according to the spirit that works in the children of disobedience. Then he goes on in verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past. Now the conversation here is not words. The conversation is your manner of life, your walk. How did we live before God saved us? Well, according to the scripture, we lived according to the world, according to the children of disobedience. And in verse 3, he actually spells it out. In times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath.
Yeah.
By nature. You know why man sins? Because he has a sinful nature.
Yeah.
Right. It is his nature that causes him to sin.
Yeah.
And we all have a rotten nature. We're all in Adam. So he says, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Not all the people that Paul preached to have been saved. And he says, you know, you used to be like that. And every believer in this place used to be like that. That's how we lived our lives. We walked according to godlessness. We obeyed the rules of Satan. We had no interest in the things of God. I've had people say to me, you know, Brother McDowell, just outside the door of our church are all those people who are looking for God. No, they're not.
Right.
They may be looking for a God with a small g, but they're not looking for the God of the heavens. Because they have no desire for him. They have no heart for him.
No.
All right. Let me... I just have to move on. But in this first instance, I want us to know. Paul says to the Christian, here's what you were. Here's how you lived. You had nothing. You had nothing. But I love verse 4.
Come on.
Amen. But God, I went to a meeting in Belfast, a missionary meeting, when I was a young fella. And when one of the meetings, I wanted to serve the Lord. I didn't know how. I never even thought of being a preacher. But I wanted to serve the Lord. And so he said, anybody, speaking to young people who wants to serve the Lord, come and see me afterwards. Well, I did. He was an Englishman, but I forgive him for that. I went afterwards and I spoke to the man and talked to him. He prayed with me and he answered some of my questions. Well, about 3 weeks later, I got a little plaque from him. And I was impressed that he even sent it to me. But do you know what it said in the plaque? Two words. But God.
Amen.
That went up on my wall.
Yes.
Folks, that's what makes the difference.
Yes.
But God.
Yes.
God.
Yes.
The God of the heaven. The God of creation.
Amen.
The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
I teach homeschoolers history. And I have a page I give them. I teach history according to scripture. I teach history believing that there is a God of creation. I don't teach evolution. I teach history according to God's order. But God!
Amen.
There it is, the God of the Bible. The God, and it says, who is rich in mercy. You see, folks, I can't do anything for myself, but God is a God of mercy.
Yeah.
And every believer here tonight, that should resonate with you.
Yeah.
He's a God of mercy. He's a God who saw fit to save rotten sinners. That's amazing to me. I never cease to be amazed at God's mercy. It's something incredible. It's something wonderful. It's something blessed. He says, but God who is rich in mercy for his great love. Look at the wording. Rich in mercy.
Yes.
Great love. Wherewith. Now think about it. Wherewith he loved us.
Amen.
He loved you. And he loved me.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
I have nothing to offer him. I have nothing to give him.
No.
I'm a rotten sinner.
Yes.
Now I'm going to say something that some people in modern churches would not like. I believe in hell.
Come on.
And in his mercy,
yes,
he has delivered me from hell.
Amen.
Amen.
Young people, let me say this in all sincerity. Don't you let anybody talk you out of the reality of hell.
Right.
It's amazing people go to the Bible to learn about heaven. And they forget that the book that talks to them about heaven is also the book that warns them about hell.
That's right.
So here's what he says. God's mercy. He's rich in mercy. For his great love wherewith he loved us. And was according to the first chapter of this book, from before the foundation of the world. Don't hear me. Hear what the scripture says. Go to the third chapter, third verse, chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Now listen to this. According to the good pleasure of his will. People will ask me, McDowell, why did God save you if there's nothing in you? He saved me because he wanted to.
Amen.
He determined to. He set his mind to. And all I can say is, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So he says to them, God who is rich in mercy. Christian, never forget God's mercy.
Amen.
All right. Even when we were dead in sins, you know, I would people tell me, well, Brother McDowell, you know, I want to improve myself. I want to get better. I want to turn over a new leaf. And then I'll get right with God. No, you won't. You'll never get right with God.
Right.
Unless he takes control.
Amen.
And so he says, when we were dead, he quickened us together with Christ.
Amen.
Romans, I think it's the fifth chapter, says something similar. But listen to me. When we were dead in our sin, no witness to the things of God, no witness to the things of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we were living in spiritual deadness, even at that time, God had a purpose for us. Even when we were dead in sins, had quickened us together with Christ.
Amen.
It's interesting going through the book of Ephesians and taking the phrase with Christ or in Christ.
Amen.
We have nothing without Christ, folks. When I first went to college to train for the ministry, you know, I came from a very evangelical background in Northern Ireland. I go to this college in England. I learned a few lessons. I thought I was walking into heaven and earth. It didn't turn out like that. But I walked in and one of the senior students looked at me. He said, who are you? I said, I'm Jim McDowell. He said, do you believe in God? This was a seminar I was going to. Do you believe in God? I said, yes. I thought, well, he just looked at me. And I found out he was one of those liberal guys. Parts of the Bible are true and parts are not true. This didn't happen. This did. Anyway, when we were dead in sins, he had quickened us together with Christ. By grace, ye are saved.
Amen.
You're not saved by good works.
Right.
You're not saved by prayers.
Amen.
You're not saved by paying. You're not saved by turning over a new leaf.
Right.
You're not saved by giving God a chance.
No.
You're saved by grace.
Amen.
Grace, unmerited favor to those who deserve God's judgment.
That's right.
That's grace. It's not just something we say at a meal. Grace is one of those wonderful words that the Apostle Paul uses and gives to us again and again and again. When we were dead in sins, when we had no interest in the things of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we had no interest in heavenly things, God in his sovereign mercy, having marked us out from before the world began, has come to us by his Holy Spirit. He has breathed life into us. We live, and now living, we believe.
Yes.
We don't believe to live. We live to believe. So he says, By grace. If it's not by grace, it's not the biblical salvation. And hath raised us up. I love these phrases. He hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. He's lifted us to the heavenlies, as one writer has put it. He has lifted us to the heavenlies. God has taken hold of us. God has lifted us up. I want you to go back to verse number 3 of chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. In Christ. You know something? He has lifted us up, and one day he's going to take us up.
Amen.
You know, I talk to people, and you listen to them, and you want, they have nothing to live for. Nothing to live for. But the child of God has everything to live for.
Amen.
Because one day we're going to see our Savior. We're going to sing His praises. Incidentally, I love the singing. I didn't know hardly anything you were singing, but I love the singing. Good. To sing the Word of God. Amen. We're going to sing the praises of Christ for all eternity.
Amen.
I can't even... It really doesn't fit in, you know. It's beyond my comprehension. We can only get a little glimpse of it now. All right. And hath raised us up to get to make us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace.
Amen.
Abundant upon abundant upon abundant riches of his grace.
Yes, amen.
Rich grace.
Rich grace.
The richest sort there is.
Yes.
God's grace. That he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us. We don't deserve that kindness, brother, sister. We don't
Amen.
Deserve it.
No.
Ah, but he has bestowed it upon us.
Yes.
And it is just incredible. His grace, his kindness, but I want you to notice, he's showered it upon us through Christ Jesus. John tells us that there's only one way to God, and that is through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way. He didn't say I'm one of many ways. He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Amen.
If you don't know Jesus Christ, you don't know God. And if you truly know the God of the Bible, you know the Lord Jesus.
Yes.
You can't separate them. I'm always, in my church, I'm reminding the people again and again of the wonderful relationship between God the Son and God the Father. Every grace we have comes from God through the Lord Jesus Christ. That includes the grace of salvation and all the other graces he bestows upon us. Now, I have so many things, I'm passing over notes here, but I must go on and get to my third, really the third point. I love these verses. For by grace are you saved through faith.
Mm-hmm.
Now people tell me off because I don't say faith correctly. They tell me it's not faith, it's faith. But you'll just have to put that down to my upbringing. By grace are you saved. Now let me say something. Sovereign grace people know this. But we're not saved by faith. We're saved by grace.
Amen.
Faith is the instrument that takes the grace God gives us. But we're not saved on the basis of faith. We're saved on the basis of grace.
Amen.
Amen.
Don't forget that.
Amen.
And don't mix them
Amen.
Up.
Yes, sir.
Don't mix them up.
Amen.
For by grace, by God's unmerited favor, are you saved. Through faith.
Amen.
I believe we're to come and embrace the Lord Jesus. But a dead man can't do that. A dead woman can't do that. But living people can. And when God enables us, we come and we embrace the Lord Jesus as Savior and King. We just take hold of Him because we love Him.
Amen.
We love Him. We believe Him. We're saved by grace. We're saved by grace. We're saved by grace.
Amen.
And that's not of yourself. Not even the faith is ours. Incidentally, did you realize that?
Yes, sir.
I can't work up the faith to believe in the Lord Jesus. But He gives it to me.
Yeah.
He gives it to me. You see, not only does God call us, He gives us what we need to believe Him.
Amen.
To take hold of Him. To embrace Him. The Philippian jailer asked, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. And that's true. I teach that and I preach that.
Amen.
And I pray that God would give the Spirit and
Amen.
Bring people
yes.
to believe
Amen.
Savingly.
Mm-hmm.
It's not yours. It's the gift of God. You see, even the ability to believe in Jesus Christ is from God. I don't work it on myself. I can't do that. I try to tell people. I meet in the morning, sometimes I have coffee with a bunch of older men, you know. They're all older than me. I'm a kid compared to them. But I talk to these men, you know, and sometimes they all profess to be Christians. And they go to different churches. And sometimes I find myself interjecting, you know, brethren, we're saved by grace. We're saved by grace. All right. We're saved by grace through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God.
Amen.
Not of works.
Yes.
Not of works. Abraham was not saved by works.
Right.
He was not saved by circumcision.
No.
The scripture says he believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness.
Yes, amen. Amen. Yes.
We're not saved by works. There's nothing you can do, there's nothing I can do that will make us accepted before the Lord.
No.
But in chapter 1, it is God's grace that makes us accepted. Look at the verse number 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he, that is God, has made us accepted in the beloved. That's in Christ.
Amen.
And then in whom we have redemption. God does it all.
Amen.
It's not 99% God and 1% me.
Right.
It's 100% Amen. God. If God doesn't take an interest in it, it will not be saved.
That's right.
In other words, lest any man should boast. I can't boast. And forgive me here if I step out of line, but I have to say it. When we hear testimonies, I get bothered sometimes, because very often the testimony that I hear is what I did for God. It should be what God did for
Amen.
Me.
Amen.
Amen.
You know,
it's
what God did.
Yes, sir.
If God didn't do anything to me, I'm still in my sin. Young people, let me tell you this. You need God.
Amen.
You need God's salvation. If you're not a Christian, you need God's salvation. Being brought up in a Christian home doesn't mean you're a Christian.
Right.
You need the grace of God. In other words, lest any man should boast. And let me take a few minutes with this. For we are his workmanship. You see how God is central in all of this? We're his workmanship. He made us to be his people. He's the one who takes this old heart and changes it. He's the one who makes us new creatures. He's the one who takes us from one kingdom and puts us into the other. He does it all. All of it. We're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus under good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
Yes.
If I'm saved by God's grace, I walk in grace.
Amen.
If I'm saved by God's grace, I walk in obedience to him. Do I fall flat on my face sometimes? Yes. But by God's grace, I get up and go on. But if I'm a child of God, I walk according to his standards. I seek to honor him in all that, and everything that we do, we're to do it is under the Lord.
Amen.
We are his workmanship. God has given us the grace that we enjoy. God has given us the salvation we enjoy. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you believe God has given to you that salvation? Are you trusting in that salvation tonight? Do you know the God we're speaking about? Do you know the Christ we're speaking about? Do you know the gospel we're speaking about? We're not here just to put on a show.
Right.
No. These men are not getting into the pulpit just to spend 40 minutes.
No.
We're here to preach the gospel of the grace of God. And I'm sure your parents, if they know the Lord, have been praying for you. I don't know your people. I've met some of you this week and it's been wonderful, but I don't know your heart. God knows your heart.
Amen.
We can use these phrases, but what do they mean to us? Are you saved tonight? I'm not asking you, are you religious tonight?
Yes.
The devil's religious. I'm not asking you, are you trying to be a good person tonight? I'm not asking you, are you a church member tonight? Have you been baptized? Have you walked forward or stood in your head or whatever it is people do? I'm not asking you any of those things. But in the light of what the scripture says, are you saved? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior?
Yes.
Has God brought you to that place where you repent of your sin? Lord, I'm a sinner.
Yes.
My prayer is, that God will save you.
Amen.
My prayer is that God will open your heart to the truth. And for those of us who love the Lord Jesus, we live in a day when religion is mixed up.
Oh, no.
And we have a responsibility. Even though we're not preachers, we have a responsibility to take what we know of Scripture, to take what we know of God's grace, and bring it to others. Somebody we work with, somebody we see. Hand out a tract.
Yes.
Talk to somebody in a situation when the door is open. Use it and speak about the things of the Lord Jesus. Jesus is the only hope.
Amen.
Jesus is the only way. And incidentally, it's the Jesus of the Bible who's the only way.
Amen.
The virgin birth, well, the one who came from heaven, the virgin birth, Jesus Christ, the one who lived a holy, perfect life, the one who quite literally died on the cross for sinners, the one who literally rose again from the dead, the one who ascended to the Father's right hand, and the one who's coming back again to receive us unto himself. That's the Jesus Christ I pointed to.
Amen.
May that Jesus Christ be yours today.
Amen.
May we pray?
Yeah.
Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. We give you thanks for the gospel of grace. I thank you, Lord, for this congregation. I thank you for this church, for this pastor, for these people. But, O God, tonight I would ask that you would be pleased to move on hearts, young and old, to those who know not Christ. May the Spirit of God come in saving power, and may they know that Savior that we love and we seek to serve. O Lord, move tonight. Work tonight, we pray. And to your name be all praise and honor and glory. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.